would you do that right now? Would you lift him up? Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, you are worthy, God. You are worthy, God. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, praise team, for leading us into the house of the Lord today in worship. Amen, getting us beyond this place. Amen, in the right frame of mind and the right spirit so that the word of the Lord could go forth today. Amen, amen. I would ask our church family to please remember, lift up Sister Trudy Kreider. Amen. She lost her husband this weekend. We want to pray for her that God would be a peace. Amen. She needs the Lord's touch today and needs God to work out some details in her situation. So would we lift her up this week in your prayers and ask God to be with her. Amen. Also, please be mindful, a special week around here. This Wednesday night, Brother Donnie Willis, many years ago when we had our seven Super Sundays just right in a row, many of you weren't even here at that point, but Brother Donnie Willis joined us and helped speak a word for our students that Sunday, and he is now a missionary in New York City. They had taken a church there a couple years ago, and they have since started another church in New York City, right there in Manhattan area, and they have reached out to him asking if he would be willing to start up a third church there in New York. Amen. Amen. And so he's supposed to be at our district conference that's this weekend, this Thursday and Friday, for all of our licensed ministers. If you can make sure that you're there for that, if your schedule allows. And he was going to be here for that. Amen. And he needed a place to be. And so we invited him to come Wednesday night and be with us here at Greater Life Church. Amen. So he'll be with us. And then next Sunday, April 14th, Brother Tyler Stevenson and his family are going to be here with us, bringing the word of the Lord next weekend. Amen. We always love having Brother Stevenson, and the whole crew supposed to come with him this time. Amen. So I know that it'll be a great time around here this week. And also, again, to all of our men that can be here Tuesday night at 7:30, I just believe that God is about to begin. He's already doing it, but it's just us getting in alignment with what he's doing. Amen. And so we want to be mindful of that. John chapter 11, a very familiar passage of scripture. And when I tell you I'm going to jump around through there, I'm going to jump around through there. Because you know the story of Lazarus. You can fill in the blank. Amen. John 11. Begin reading at verse 1, says, "Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." From there, the story kind of goes to where Jesus is talking with his disciples and telling them, "We've got to go. I've got to get to where Lazarus is at." And he says, "You know, he's sleeping." Well, good. He needs rest. If he's sick and not doing well, he needs some rest for his body. Verse 14. Then Jesus said plainly, "Lazarus is dead." And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. Chilling words. But he wasn't done. "To the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him." And as they're approaching, verse 20 says, "Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house." You ever felt that way before? Let's be honest. I don't feel like going to church today. I don't feel like lifting my hands. I don't feel like going to see Jesus today. But then Martha said unto Jesus, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. In verse 28, finally, Martha goes home and begins to tell Mary, and when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, "The Master is come, and he's calling for you." As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Verse 32, Mary gets there, and Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him. She fell down at his feet, saying unto him, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." Both pouring their heart out to him. And then you have verse 37. And some said, "Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, could he have not caused that even this man should not have died?" We've felt that before. We have felt that not only about people, about circumstances, about situations in our life. We've been right where they're at. And there are some that are right there in that place today. Today, for just a few moments, I want to preach to you on this word, believing after the deadline. Believing after the deadline. Father, I love you so much. God, I feel your presence and your help in this place today. God, there are those here today, God, that have faced hard times, hard news, God, that has crushed their spirit. They have seen things, Lord, that I cannot imagine. They have heard words spoken over a telephone call, God, that I pray I never have to hear. But God, today I know that there is still a plan for each one that is in the house today, because we are here and because you are here. And God, I pray that you would resurrect our faith, resurrect our hope and our belief today in you, who is the resurrection and the life. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. You can be seated in the house of the Lord today. There have been those things in your life that they just showed up a little too late. The window of opportunity closed. A special deal that you just missed out on. You did not make it in time. Our faith and our trust in God, if we were going to be honest today, we would all agree that our faith and our trust in God, in our mind, has a deadline. And by that I mean, when we pray, we say, "God, I believe that you can heal. God, the doctors say we have 3 days. So God, I'm giving you 3 days to move. God, I'm praying in faith, believing that you are able to heal and save and make a way where there is no way. I'm putting my hope in you, and I'm going to give you to the end of this year. And if you have not responded by the end of this year, then maybe I'm just not meant to live for you. Maybe I'm just not meant to attend this church any longer." We give God a date and a time frame, and we embrace that, and we expect God to move in that time frame. But then that deadline comes, and then we look at the facts and we accept them for what they are. Trust is not our problem. We trust Him. I don't think that any of you would be here today if there was not some part of you that still trusts in God. That as bad as your situation may be, in your mind, you still have this hope that God can work in my life. But also some are here today, and perhaps you have put God on a timeline. "God, I'm giving you one more chance. God, this is my last Sunday to come into the house of the Lord. God, this is my last opportunity for you. This is my last opportunity at Greater Life Church. If somebody doesn't come and shake my hand today, then I'm going to go find another church. If the preacher himself does not come lay his hands on my head, then I'm going to go somewhere else. If I don't hear from the preacher today, then I will take that as my cue to move to Hawaii. Amen. You're like, oh, preacher, don't come pray for me. We set our guidelines and our deadlines, and we put all of these expectations on God to do it our way. Both sisters sinned for Jesus. This lets us know they trusted him. Trust was not the issue at hand. They believed that if there is anybody that can come and heal my brother, it's Jesus. If there is somebody that I want to call on when somebody is sick, I want it to be Jesus. If there's a circumstance in my life that's troubling, I know as a child of God, if there is anybody that I can call who will answer, it is Jesus. If there is somebody I can get help from, it's going to be Jesus. And it's going to be in the house of the Lord. Notice she does not say, hey Jesus, my brother Lazarus is sick. She says, Jesus, the one that you love is sick. The one that you're connected to is sick. This isn't just anybody. This is somebody you love. And if he knows we're in trouble, he'll show up. She had confidence that was all that was necessary. She did not think she had to beg him. She did not think she had to pull out the billfold and start pulling out dollar bills and $100 bills and saying, hey, Jesus, Lazarus is sick. If he knows that the one he loves is sick, that will be enough to get him here. It doesn't say they were given a report and, hey, your brother's got just a few hours to live. It doesn't tell us all of the details that their brother was given hours or a day to live, but it was bad enough that all other resources did not matter. It was bad enough that going down to Walgreens and getting some medicine off the counter was not sufficient. It was bad enough that they said, hey, I know that there's times we don't want to trouble the master, but right now our brother, the one whom he loves, is so sick that he is going to die if Jesus does not show up. And they call for Jesus and they say, we are up against a deadline. The one you love is sick and we need you to come quickly. We need you to take care of this and we need it now. Then you can go back and do whatever it is you need to do. You can go wherever you need to go. This is not where we struggle. This is where we thrive. We as people of God and as the church know how to believe. We know how to pray. And we know who to turn to when our world has been rocked. We are not naive. We know there are certain situations that come up in our life that there are no other possibilities but Jesus. There are phone calls that we get at 10 o'clock at night that shatter our world. And you don't hang up and call another friend. You don't hang up and get on Facebook. You hang up the phone and you get down on your knees and you begin to cry out to God, because there are some things that you just need immediate help with. There are some times, God, I need you to move right now. I'm not waiting until I wake up tomorrow to get down on my knees and pray. Some of you have had a phone call. Hey, your son was just in a horrible car accident, and they hang up. You don't know the rest of the details. You don't know if there's a pulse. You don't know if there's a heartbeat. All you know is that there is one that you've got to talk to, and it's not your neighbor. It's not your family. It is God. And you begin to pray and cry out, God, I don't know the situation. I don't know if he's at the hospital or in the back of an ambulance or lying in a ditch. But God, I need you to work right now. I need you to move in this moment. Before we call up our friends, I would hope we still believe in the power of prayer and that we would cry out to God before we cry out to anybody. Before you get on Facebook and air it out for the world to see, I pray that there would be a people that would still get down on their knees and pray unto God. Maybe it's not somebody that's dead in the ditch. Maybe it's somebody with a moral failure and their life is at the deadline. Their family is at the deadline. How about instead of talking about it amongst ourselves, we get down on our knees and begin to pray for them and ask God to help them and say, God, they need you in this moment. Death is such a hard thing. Pain is tough to struggle with. Hardships are discouraging. We can say count it all joy all we want to, but counting it all joy is not for sissies. Counting it all joy is not always an easy thing to do. So it is when the discussion is taking place between the disciples and Jesus. And Jesus finally looks at them with those chilling words, Lazarus is dead. The deadline that was approaching has now come. Well, God, I expected you to move by now. I expected you to show up by today. That's why I called for you days ago. That's why I prayed months ago. That's why I fasted those days all that time back. You did not show up at my deadline. What now? Well, now my belief has been shaken. Now I've been let down. Now I've been crushed by disappointment. You see, it's easy to trust in God when the answers are all there. It's easy to trust in Him when everything is going your way. It's easy to ride the waves of a win. It's all smiles until deadline day has come and nothing has changed. Then all of a sudden my faith diminishes and the enemy comes and begins to taunt. And as the Bible said in Psalm 42, they come and they say, where is your God? Where is your God now? This God that you've been praying to and you've been fasting and the answer that you've been praying for has not happened. And now your brother is dead. But there are some things that God isn't going to let somebody else go through. Because I believe He knows they would never make it. With no disrespect to the apostles that He chose, Acts 1 tells us that He had given commandments unto the apostles whom He had chose, to whom also He showed Himself alive after His passion by many infallible proofs. They had tangible proof. They saw Him. They touched the nail-scarred hands. They touched His side. They had Him there to believe. But had He not shown Himself by many infallible proofs, would they have believed? Had there not been that physical evidence there, would they have had the faith to move on that they had? These guys had a hard time believing when He was alive, much less after He was crucified and placed in a tomb. Some believe when they see it, but there are some that just simply believe. There are some that have such faith and they say, I haven't seen it yet, but I still believe. I haven't seen blinded eyes open yet, but I still believe. I haven't seen the dead raised back to life again, but I still believe. I haven't seen my child come back to God yet, but I still believe. Thomas, because you have seen, you believe. But blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. Blessed are the ones sitting on a pew on this Sunday morning that you haven't seen that miracle, and you haven't seen that child restored, and you haven't seen breakthrough, and you haven't gotten that healing, but you still believe. I haven't seen a marriage restored, but I still believe. I haven't seen anybody walk out of a grave, but I still believe. I haven't had my prayers answered, but I still believe that my God is able to do miracles, signs, and wonders. I still believe He can save a dirty sinner and make him clean again. Blessed are they that have not seen. Some of you haven't seen anybody be healed. Some of you haven't experienced deliverance. You haven't broken free from the chains that bind you. Some have not seen your prayers answered. But blessed are you that have not seen, and you keep showing up. And you keep paying your tithes. And you keep coming to prayer. And you keep seeking God. And you keep holding on. Some of you lost somebody in your life and you wonder, God, why would you let that happen? Why would you let me lose my child? Why would you let me lose my mother, my father, my spouse? God, why? But God is looking at the situation and He's saying, because if it had happened to somebody else, they would have never believed. If it had happened to Sister So-and-so over here, she would have been so crushed and she would have walked out on me. But you are stronger than you believe that you are. You are stronger than you think in your life and your walk with God. There is a belief in you that I want to remind you of. You've got more faith than you realize. You've got more hope in Him than you realize today. If I had done it to him, he would have never walked through my doors again. But I see something different in you. I see a faith that has lasted and brought you through some of life's most difficult situations. And you're still in the house of God on this Sunday morning. Jesus said, you see, my purpose is the intent that ye may believe. Past the deadline. Past disappointment. Past hurt. Well, we do believe. That's why we're heading to go see Lazarus right now. We believe. Yeah, he's sleeping. We believe you're going to go over there and you're going to wake him up. Yeah, but he's dead. Now that he's dead, what are your thoughts? Now that tragedy has struck and disappointment has shown up, do you still believe? It's okay. I know the answer to the question. I know that you're shaken, and I know right now that I've said that. Could you imagine being with him and you've heard that he's asleep and then he just says he's dead? All of a sudden, where there was hope, there is no more hope. All of a sudden, where there was a chance, there's no more chance. Well, then why are we going? Well, then why are we still walking? Why are we still going to church today? Why are we still showing up? Why are we going to give God one more opportunity to right this wrong? He's dead. What are we wasting our time for? You see, the Jews believe that the soul hovers over the body for 3 days. So in their mind, there was still a chance. There was a flat line, but then there came a deadline. The sun rose on the third day. And in their mind, perhaps they were thinking, maybe, just maybe, today's the day. Today's the third day. Today there's still hope for Lazarus. He can come out today. He's been dead. There was a flat line, but maybe the whole thing about the soul hovering over the body for 3 days, maybe that's truth. Maybe there's still hope today. Maybe it's not over. The Bible doesn't say anything about the feelings and emotions of the two sisters for those 2 or 3 days. But I can only imagine that there was concern and a little bit of worry. But the deadline hasn't come yet. We'll give you 3 days, even after there's no pulse, because we believe that there's still a chance. But the third day came, and the sun rose, and the sun set, and Lazarus was still in the tomb. Then the Bible said that Martha, as Jesus is approaching, comes running while Mary sat still in the house. Both wrecked with grief. Both thinking the same exact thing. If he had shown up, My brother would not have died. And now he shows up after the deadline. Now he shows up when it's too late. Now he shows up after the third day, where now there really is no chance. I had hope. That's why I sent for you. Trust was not my issue there. I trusted you enough to send for you, but now the deadline has come and I don't know why we're all wasting our time. We mentioned he wasn't well. We made sure you knew it was the one that you loved. I made sure when I knelt down to pray every time that I told you how lost my son was. I made sure that I knelt down and prayed every day, and I prayed for my marriage and I prayed for my kids. I made sure I told you the details. I made sure I told you how sick my loved one was. I told you all of the things that I thought you needed to know to come and respond and move and heal. And yet, it did not seem to matter. The heart that was crushed is there. If you would have been here, he would not have died. If you had only shown up when I said to, if you had only responded in my deadline date, then everything would be okay. If you had believed that when I called you that I really needed you, then surely you would have shown up. Pours her heart out, and then he says, where is Mary? And Martha comes to Mary and says, he wants to see you. So Mary goes to where Jesus is and falls at his feet and says the exact same thing. You know what that tells me? That tells me that between those days, they were talking together. It's what happens when disappointment comes. It doesn't just sit in you. It spreads. And you tell other people, God didn't answer my prayer. God didn't show up. Hurt people hurt people. The people outside that get on and that have been hurt for all these years at church hurt and preacher hurt, they get on and they share it with one another and sharing that disappointment. And they're saying the exact same thing the other one is saying. They've all felt it. If only he had shown up, my brother would not have died. If only you would have been here, this would not have happened. Surely on the day after he died, they were there. Mary, I'm pretty disappointed in Jesus. I thought he loved us. I thought he loved Lazarus, but he didn't show up. Martha, I know. If he'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. Both agree there was a deadline that didn't happen the way they imagined. The outcome was inevitable. But the truth is, the things leading up to may have been a little different if Jesus had shown up. But the outcome was still going to be the same. He may have come the day they called, but the outcome was still going to be the same. Because it was not about Lazarus dying. It was not about hurting Mary and Martha. It was not about disappointing the disciples. It was to the intent that they could get a fresh revelation that he is the resurrection, that he is the life, that even when everybody said it's too late, God says it's never too late when I show up. It's never too late. I don't care what Jewish customs are. I don't care what the belief is. When I show up, anything becomes possible. And maybe I went through this hurt to the intent that I may believe. Maybe I went through a storm so that I could see him speak. Peace, be still. Brother Starks touched on this Wednesday night. There are those that want a sign to believe, like Thomas. They want the miraculous as proof, but they want his performance to be done with their permission. They want his performance to be done within their parameters and within their guidelines. We want you to work, but we want you to work when we want you to work and how we want you to work. While reading over the Easter story, you find the same comments coming from the crowd that day. Could not this man which opened the blinded eyes have saved his friend from dying? And yet they come and mark, and they mocked him, saying, he saved others, yet he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe. Oh, if you're really the King, if you're really Christ, and you're who you say you are, come down from the cross so that we'll believe. I want you to perform in my parameters. I want you to do the work in my timeline, and then I will believe. When the truth is, if I do it your way, you're not going to believe me. If I do it your way, you're going to think I'm just your little puppet. But if I do it my way, everybody's going to know who I am. If I go and I say, roll back the stone, Lazarus come forth, and that body steps out after the deadline, then you're going to believe it, and you're going to believe it, and you're going to believe it. It's not about death. It's not about disappointment. It's about Him. It's about the realization that I can believe on Him even after the deadline. God is not interested in doing something your way for you to believe. He's wanting to see how you respond when it doesn't go your way. When disappointment does come, when tragedy does strike, how do you respond then? He said, I would rather see you with questions and tears and disappointments for a moment if it meant I could change your mind for a lifetime. Mary, Martha, disciples, if it means 4 days of tears for me to get a hold of your faith and me to get a hold of your mind and your heart to keep you for a lifetime, then I'm going to disappoint you for 4 days. If it means you going through a storm for you to get a fresh hold of who I am, then buckle up, because I'm going to take you through that storm. Don't be so caught up with the deadline that you miss resurrection. Don't get so caught up in what was that you miss what is. Luke 24, there were two who were heading to a village, and they talked together about Easter weekend. And while they were talking, the Bible says that Jesus drew near to them, but their eyes were not able to recognize who He was. Jesus comes upon them, and they're mumbling and grumbling and whining and complaining and talking about how heartbroken they are and how upset they were. And I can only imagine. I'm not beating up on these guys. If I were there that day and I saw what had taken place, it would have troubled me too. But these men are walking, and Jesus shows up, and He says, why are you walking this way? Why are you mumbling and complaining, and why are you crying and looking so sad? And Cleopas said, are you a stranger to Jerusalem? Don't you know what has happened? Haven't you seen the things that have taken place? And I love His response. Jesus looked at them and said, what things? Stuff like that in Scripture just jumps out, and I love it. What things? The one who had just been beaten to where he could not be recognized. The one who had been tied to a tree and nailed to that cross by his hands and his feet, with crown of thorns put upon his head, mocked, ridiculed, shamed, spit on, cursed at, a spear thrust in his side, mocked and shamed, dying, being dead for 3 days and placed in a tomb. What things? You got your eyes fixed on what was. You can't even recognize who's standing here with you right now because you're so caught up in what was. You got disappointed at deadline. You got disappointed when it didn't go your way and it didn't happen the way you thought it would happen. And God said, if you would only open your eyes, you would see that I am still alive, and there is still hope, and there is still a blessing, and there is still an opportunity. There is still a chance. And because He's not in that tomb today, you still have a chance today. You can believe past the deadline that has been set. Because He is no longer buried, your hope shouldn't be either. Don't let your deadline determine your belief. Don't let the things that have happened in your life keep you from believing that God is still a miracle working God. I know you've lost a loved one. I know you've seen storms. I know you've been so hurt and so broken and you haven't seen the things you thought you would see. But blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. Let's stand all over this house today. I want you to remember who I am and what I'm capable of, and that I have no deadline. I can move whenever I want to move. I can heal when I want to heal. I can bring things to life that have been dead. There were those around that day murmuring, how can this guy open blinded eyes? How can he pick up the lame and they walk? How can deaf ears be unstopped? Yet he couldn't even save his friend who was sick. Yet he couldn't even save his friend. If he hadn't died, they wouldn't have known that he could raise the dead. Some things you will never know he can until you see he does. Some of you would never know he was a healer. But Sister Egla, she knows he's a healer. Some of you would never know he was a miracle worker, except he's worked a miracle out in your life. Big, little, it doesn't matter. Something so simple. I've said it before, I was supposed to have surgery as a young teenager. They were going to take a bone from my hip to put in my lip. Don't ask me why, that seems pretty extensive for me to have a bone in my upper lip, okay? But the x-ray that showed zero bone there, I was young, scared, I didn't want to go to surgery, I didn't know what that would look like, I wanted no part of it. I just said, I'm not having surgery. I'm not doing all that. Called my grandparents. Y'all pray. I don't want to do this. I don't want to have to go through this. The day before I was scheduled to go into surgery, they called and they said, hey, we were supposed to do the surgery tomorrow and, you know, we're looking at everything and there's a bone there. Well, no, there's not. We saw the x-rays too. I'm telling you, we're looking at his x-rays right now again and there is a bone there. My brother-in-law, they had a man in their church who was a doctor, very well respected in Kansas, was at the hospital working, comes out of a room, falls over, no idea what's going on. They grab him, they go hook him up to machines, they go run all of these tests, they're doing all of this stuff. They come in, he can't even speak. His wife comes in. I'm talking about a man in his 30s. They said his mind was like a child. There was no sign of a stroke. They had zero answers. And his wife came in and he couldn't even say her name. He'd sit there and try. His sister walks in, whose name was Ginger. Gingy. And his sister says, oh, Jesus. She wasn't really praying. It just bothered her so bad. Oh, Jesus. He sat up and he goes, I know that name. He pulled on his gown they had him in. He goes, I know that name. He begins to look around. What am I doing? They all start crying. They all start going over there. They say, well, you're in the hospital. Well, yeah, I see that. What happened? What was going on? They said, we don't know. We don't have any answers. We don't know what happened. But that name after the deadline, after no hope, after there was no answers given, that name still worked. Oh, it gets better. When he was a young man, being a hooligan, he was jumping train tracks and climbing on top of trains and jumping. And at one point, he had fallen off, and when he did, he landed on the side of his head on the train track. Damaged his skull so badly, they had to go do reconstructive surgery and put a metal plate in his head. When a buddy of his that worked there at the hospital came up and they said, "Doc, I want you to see this." He's like, "Well, they said they couldn't find anything." He said, "It's not that I'm talking about." He said, "You remember you told me about that metal plate, and you told me that whole story about you jumping train tracks and you did all that?" He said, "Just look." He goes and he opens up the report and the x-rays. There is not a metal plate in his head. There's no screws. There's no sign that there was ever. They said, "Your skull is perfect. There is no sign that there was ever even anything that had happened." To the intent that somebody else might believe. Sister Brooke, maybe you went through some of the things that you did so that somebody else might believe. Brother Greg and Sister Ellen, maybe there's some things that you've had to go through and endure that somebody else might believe. It might not even be about Lazarus. It may not even be about any of that, but it's to the intent that you might still believe. And all that Job went through, all the loss that he suffered, his wife said, "Why don't you curse God and die? How will you respond, Job, when disappointment strikes? How will you respond if it's all taken away? How will you respond if I don't answer by the deadline?" We trust God until He does what we want Him to do, or until He doesn't. Then we simply lose that hope. Job said, "I trust in God." The devil says, "Oh yeah, we'll see about that." At the end of it all, everything he lost, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." I know deadline has come. I know I've lost 10 children. Not one. I lost 10. I lost my money, my land, my cattle. I lost everything. But yet, after deadline, I choose to still believe. Can I show you this morning what believing after deadline looks like? Matthew 9, Jairus comes and kneels down before Jesus and he says, "My daughter has just died." "Then why are you here?" "My situation is a mess." "Then why are you at church today?" "I'm hurting and I'm broken and I'm disappointed." He said, "My daughter is dead. But if you would come and lay hands on her, she will be healed." God, I have a deadline. And maybe by today I thought it would be answered and you haven't answered yet. Maybe I've been like Mary and I just cross my arms and I sit still in my house. I don't want to listen to worship music. I don't want to hear a sermon. I don't want to hear another podcast. I don't want anybody to give me another book. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to pray. I don't want to recommit. I don't want to get involved. I'm still hurt because deadline has come and he did not show up. He's calling for you. Oh, why are you calling for me? God, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. Where is he? Where is he? Take me to where you have him laid. Oh Lord, not now. We're past that point. It stinks now. Life just stinks now. My heart, my life, my family, since deadline day, it stinks and I'm disappointed. Take me to him. And they go, and the stone rolls away, and he cries out, Lazarus, come forth. Dead thing, come alive again. Show all of these here that they can still believe after customs. They can still believe after what they've been taught and what they've been told. They can believe beyond the doctor report. They can believe beyond the court date. They can believe beyond the disappointment. And God is stirring somebody's heart today that's been crushed by disappointment. And he's saying, come on, Job, where are you? Come on, Jairus, where are you? Come to me today. Come to my feet with that anticipation and that hope that says, oh, my daughter is dead, but I believe that you can touch her and raise her again. I open the altars for somebody today that's disappointed, that's been hurt, that's been frustrated. Maybe you're going through what you're going through right now to the intent somebody else might believe, that somebody else might see he can heal cancer, that somebody else would see he can restore broken things, that he can put a marriage back together. Each of us are a testimony of the faithfulness of God. Each of us are a testimony that the name of Jesus works. I know that name. Jesus, help me to believe on you, Lord. Not just when it's easy. Not in my calendar. Not just in my terms. God, move how you want to move. Speak when you want to speak. Come on, somebody, believe on him. He's still faithful. He's still good. He's still resurrection. He's still life. I'm glad for your sake. I'm glad because I'm about to restore. I'm glad for your sake because I'm about to do something miraculous, so that you know and that everybody around would know the power of the Almighty. He katarabokosatarabahaya. He double coat that on a behind.